Natural Living with Gary Null, exploring the nature and politics of medicine, health, nutrition, and the environment. And now your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to the program. Nice to have you with us today. I'm going to be looking at many different issues that impact upon our well-being. In fact, some things that we don't know that could make a difference could actually hurt us. And by knowing that these things are harmful, well, then there's less likelihood we'll be using them. So I'm going to give you that information. But I'm also going to take a lot of calls today, as many as I can reasonably do. Today, our audience, we're going to take calls from WPFW, serving the Pacifica Station down there in the Washington Metroplex area. Now, everyone around the country will be able to hear the show, but I've been doing my programs from out of the country or out of the city, and I've only been able technically to be able to reach the people in the tri-state New York area. But now, today that I'm back, I'm going to be talking with people in other cities. And so call 202-588-0893. That's 1-202-588-0893. If you'd like to join in and share your ideas, ask questions. I'm a believer that one of the reasons this program resonates with people and has for over a quarter century here on Pacifica Stations is because the idea is we can always make something better. There is always hope. I've never seen situations so bad that we couldn't do something at some level to impact upon, whether it's arthritis, depression, environmental crisis. We just have to put ourselves in the idea that there is good news, even after all the bad news about anything. So let's see what the good news is for you. Give me a call at 202-588-0893. And while we're going to your calls, let me share something from Dr. Nina Silver in an article in Nexus. And I had a chance to read this while I was flying back from a long trip just this last week. And it's called Poisonous Product, Deceptive Labels. Let me quote a few things from it I think could be very helpful. She says, it's difficult to keep track of all the new chemicals that are constantly being manufactured. The pesticide sections provide only a fraction of a percent of the pesticides that we encounter in our daily lives. Most people, however, are not aware that they're eating something that has a pesticide on it, or a pesticide that was used as part of the processing. And also, when you read a label, how do you know, with all the leeway they have, that what is in the product that's on the label is safe or not? You have no way of knowing that. So I'm going to show you some things that you should be careful with. And I would suggest that you, wherever possible, not use these products. Okay? And because they can damage you on many different levels. And I'll tell you how they're going to damage you. For example, let's just take a look at detergents and surfactants. Now, these create foam. And don't be fooled by any label that simply says natural from coconut. Detergent is poisonous. For instance, you go in right now and you look on your shampoo. Does it say any of the following? Sodium lauryl sulfate. Sodium laureth sulfate. Cocamido, cocamide DEA. Cocamidiodo, cocamide MEA. Polysorbate, modified sulfonates. Because if it does, any of those chemicals, and it'll only have one of those per product, here's where you're going to find it. In your nail polish. In dishwashing liquid. In laundry powder. In your laundry liquid detergent. Spot remover. Shampoos. Hand bars of soap. Facial cleaners. Bubble baths. Toothpaste. Shaving cream. Hair dye. Yep. Any product that produces suds could contain at least one of those detergents. And by the way, medicines also have them. Now, why should you be concerned about these? Well, let's take a look at one of the things that these chemicals can do in your system. It strips the protective oils from your skin, leaving it vulnerable to microbe contamination. Scalp eruptions similar to dandruff can occur. allergic reactions, eye irritation, including early onset of cataracts from sodium lauryl sulfate, hair loss, liver and kidney cancer from the DEA, interference with nutrient absorption, disruption of hormones, impeded reproductive functioning, such as decreased sperm count, DNA damage from sodium lauryl sulfate, skin irritant, can react with other disclosed and undisclosed chemicals in the product, and creates carcinogenic nitrosamines. So those are just some of the things that you would not want. And by the way, that also includes Tom's Natural and has some of these things. So even if you buy it in a health food store, there is no assurance that these are going to be absolutely safe, and even though they may be effective. So don't be fooled where you buy them. You must read the ingredients. Like Crest toothpaste, read the ingredients. And Revlon Flex shampoos and Gillette and Colgate shaving creams. It has these ingredients. Another big problem is bleach. Now, I use bleach on my ranch because you have to have bleach in a tray outside of an animal's environment. When you step into that environment, you don't want to track in something that could contaminate the animal. So, and when you track out of the animal's cage, you don't want to track anything that you've gotten in there to another animal. Cross-species contamination is very common. So you put bleach in there, and that kills it. Nothing gets through that. But that's not in contact with animal or human, just the foot of an animal. It's real strong. I've seen people using it in water, getting down on their hands, knees, and scrubbing floors with it. Well, if chlorine bleach is mixed with ammonia, deadly chloramine gas fumes are produced. And people will work with these bleaches, cleaning their homes and their floors and their bathtubs. Big, big problem. Now, where are you going to find this bleach? You're going to find it in your scouring powder, your laundry and other detergents, paper products like toilet paper, paper towels, even coffee filters. What it does is corrosive to your skin. It's a lung irritant. It'll create a sore throat and coughing and wheezing and runny nose. And a mixture of bleach and ammonia can kill you. And you got to be very careful. So don't use these. And by the way, there are products on the market called non-chlorine bleaches. And those will not have the same effect. Now then you get a real bad one, ammonia. It's obtained by blowing steam through specially treated coal. Ammonia is highly toxic. If mixed with chlorine bleach, you get a deadly chloramine gas fumes are produced, and that's why detergent labels warn not to mix ammonia and bleach. Yet people do because they don't read labels. And you got to be very careful about ammonium hydroxide and ammonium gluconate. Now, where do you find it? Well, you find ammonium in glass cleaners, detergents, disinfectant, hair dye, and bathroom cleaner. Also, you can find it in animal feed, skin cream, a hair straightener, a spot remover, and cocoa products. It can create headaches, difficulty in mental functioning, severe eye irritation, including stinging, watering eyes, vision problems, cataracts, and cornea damage. Burning of the mucous membranes also results in severe respiratory tract irritation, including coughing and gagging. So be careful about that Windex and some of the other, like the Lysol deodorizing cleaner and the Dow bathroom cleaner. They contain these things. Now, another problem area are solvents. Solvents corrode. They dissolve solid material into liquid. And some solvents are so potent that they eat right through flesh as easily as they do any of the material they're trying to impact upon. So that's very important that you understand not to use these. These are not good for you. Solvents are also used to remove barnacles from the bottom of boats. And because some solvents are made from petrochemicals, they also appear under plastics, like isopropyl alcohol, glycols, anything that sounds like or contains propylene, butylene, ethylene, polyethylene, propanol, ethanol, ethyl alcohol. Now, what does it do? Where do you get it, first of all? Here's what you got to be careful about. Paint, paint thinners, paint strippers, marking pens, you know, like a lot of artists use and a lot of students use, adhesives, antifreeze, ink, gasoline, spot remover, furniture polish, varnish, glass cleaner, toilet bowl cleaner, oven cleaner, drain opener, disinfectant, rug shampoo, upholstery cleaner, dish detergent, all-purpose cleaner, air fresheners, laundry detergents, liquid and powder, and also uses a carrier in pesticides, and shampoos. Yes, you can get them in shampoos, hair conditioners, nail polish remover, facial masks and astringents, permanent wave solutions, body lotions, moisturizers, bath salts, mouthwashes, and medicines, especially cough medicines. And it's also found in butter, milk, cream, ice cream, canned olives and peas, and spices. Now, what it does when it goes in your body is it breaks down cells. You end up with skin rashes, burning and numbness of the skin, a tingling numbness of the nerves, headaches, fainting, dizziness, permanent nerve damage, nausea, vomiting. It can do all these things. Well, we don't want these things done to us. It can cause clouding of the eyes and vision problems and permanent eye damage, such as blindness. And if lye or other acid is splashed in the eyes within minutes, you can get kidney damage, liver damage, leukemia, and cancers. Very serious stuff. Where do you find it? Well, in things like Windex and Lysol and Vanish, Sanaflush, and Spray and Vac. So, again, these are some of the side effects that could occur from using common products. And I'm giving all this because, and I'm not even into the toxic metals like aluminum and lead and cadmium fluoride, which you use from drain openers and laundry detergents and dishwashing and shoe polish and house paint and artist oil paint and antiperspirants and hair dye. They can cause stomach cramps, nausea, constipation, weakness in your joints and bone pain, mouth sores, cancer, tooth discoloration, premature aging, stillbirths, immune disorders, genetic damage, brain disorders like Alzheimer's from aluminum buildup in the system, learning disorders. And then, of course, you've got one of the worst groups of all, pesticides and fungicides. Most common household soaps and detergents are legally classified as pesticides because they contain pesticides. You didn't know that. The label, however, will read germicidal or antifungal or antibacterial rather than contains pesticides. Not every pesticide present in an insecticide is listed on the label, and some of the harmful effects occur when the different chemicals are combined. Many pesticides are derived from petroleum. And lindane and captan and benamil, diazinin, albicarb, these are all pesticides. There are dozens and dozens of them. And everything from mothballs to weed killers, from insect repellent to insecticides, from flea and cockroach spray to rat poison, from antifungal and anti-algae swimming pool chemicals to flea, pet, and tick spray, dust and bath solutions. And most bathroom, kitchen, and laundry and personal care soaps, like hand soaps and body bar soap and liquid powders, contain pesticides. Even mouthwashes can contain pesticides. And it's very, very bad. And the crops that are sprayed the worst, that you really shouldn't have unless they're organic, are strawberries, green and red peppers, peaches, celery, apples, apricots, cherries, grapes, lettuce, cucumbers, cantaloupe, watermelon, spinach, green beans, pears, grapefruit, and oranges. And produce is even sprayed after being picked. Bananas and tomatoes are picked unripe and then artificially ripened with polyethylene gas just before they reach the store. Again, you don't want this. Why? Because here's what these will do in your system. They can create flu-like symptoms. with weakness and muscle and joint pain and fatigue, digestive disturbances like nausea and vomiting and stomach burns, nervous system disorders and mood swings, emotional mental disorientation, a lack of motor coordination, slurred speech, insomnia, memory loss, dizziness, numbness, tremors, paralysis, convulsions, grand mal seizures, cardiac irregularities, swelling of the face, eyelids, lips, mouth, and throat, excessive salivation, liver and kidney damage, rashes and burns of the skin, shortness of breath and chest pains, urinary tract damage, birth defects, including stillbirths, and genetic mutations, cancers of all types, including bladder, tumor of the lung, liver, and thyroid gland, the kind of damage and time that we don't want. Keep in mind that chemicals often degenerate into other toxic components once they are ingested. Only one example among the thousands is the fungicide Captan, C-A-P-T-A-N, whose breakdown products include a chemical similar to thalidomide, widely known to cause birth defects. And labeling laws do not cover pesticides that enter the U.S. on produce from other countries like Mexico. So be very, very careful, because when you're using these mothballs and many of these other things, and even the antibacterial soap, you're getting this into your system. And then, of course, you've got all the synthetic fragrances and perfumes and dishwashing. Everything has got an odor, and everybody wants something to smell a certain way. You want your shampoo, your hand bar soap, your moisturizer to smell a certain way. Fine. But realize if that's a synthetic flavor, they're chemically related to those that are alcohol solvents. And there are over 200 different ingredients that can be listed under fragrances. And they can be poisonous. You don't want that. You don't want to end up with the damage to your digestive system and your immune system and muscular aches and pains and coughing and irritation of your mucous membranes because you've taken in a synthetic fragrance. You're smelling something that is not natural. So those are some things that I'd like for you to be careful with. And in an age where everything seems to be synthetic today, I believe that we should pay careful attention to what we take into our system. We are now seeing a virtual epidemic of environmentally induced illness. That means that we have been overexposed to a multifactorial group of these chemicals. In fact, look in the average person's home on a day-to-day basis, and you're going to see a full spectrum of these, from the smells that are synthetic to the perfumes that are synthetic to the what they clean their toilet bowl with or what they shampoo their carpet with or what they wash their face with or what they dye their hair with. All chemicals, all assaulting the immune system. Then they eat all the pesticides on the produce, and then the immune system breaks down. And whether or not that broken down immune system ends up as cancer, leukemia, heart disease, or dementia, a skin irritation, or liver failure, is just a matter of chance. But clearly, we are all at risk because of what we consider the conveniences. Now, do not assume because you go into a health food store that everything on the shelf there that's labeled as natural is indeed natural and safe. Take the time to look carefully at the ingredients and see if any of the ingredients on those labels are known to be harmful. If they are, then don't buy it. There are many ways that you can clean glass and clean your floors and get rid of cockroaches and fleas without using these toxins. I'm Gary Nall. And we're going to be taking your calls, our number. But today we're only taking calls from our listeners in the Washington, D.C. area, listening on WPFW there at 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. So let's go over and say hello to the first person, see who's on the line, and please give us your name. Turn off your radio once you're on the air, please, so we don't get a feedback. Hi, what's your name?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
My name is Jason. Hi, Gary. You have a great show. I'm a kind of a new listener, and I really enjoy everything you talk about. It's eye-opening, to say the least. What I was going to ask you is fluoride. What are some practical things? I caught most of your program and I downloaded a lot of stuff. What are some practical things we can do to get to change that fluoride is added? And also, as far as what we can do is with our what we eat. I noticed that that you had mentioned a few products and fruits and stuff, but how do we know? Is there any way to know what we're eating as far as fluoride goes?
Well, assume the following, that any product that has a pesticide also has fluoride, because fluoride is used as a so-called inert ingredient. It is nothing inert about fluoride. It is highly active, and they're allowed to do that because, again, who wrote the laws? The laws are written by the pesticide manufacturers who descended upon the legislator and tried to influence that legislator that it was in the public's best interest to allow them a lot of leeway. So they were given enormous leeway. In fact, so much leeway that if you were to ban a product today as causing cancer, you could not allow any economic disadvantage to the person who had made the cancer-causing product. They would have to be compensated for their lost sales. Kind of interesting that it's a fail-up system. If you fail because you've created a cancer-causing agent, you're reimbursed by the government or the taxpayers for creating a cancer-causing product. There's no downside to it. Just doesn't make any sense. But then again, a lot of things don't make sense until we look carefully. And that's because the pesticides have to have a way of sticking to the fruit or vegetable or grain they're sprayed onto. Fluoride allows that sticking quality. That increases the amount of fluoride into our diet far and away above what is ingested in water. Unfortunately, almost all the studies heretofore have only taken into account the amount that we ingest in our water or in a toothpaste or mouthwash. And when we're told that, well, yes, one part per million is safe, A, it's not, and B, the average American's consuming over 6 parts per million today, and many as high as 10 parts per million when you consider how many people are drinking juices, bottled juices from grapes or apples that were sprayed. Whatever is on the fruit gets put in a concentrated way into the juice. So what I suggest is the following. First, I have a brand new, updated, completely revised report on fluoride on my webpage, GaryNall.com. That's www.GaryNall.com. Null. That's GaryNull.com. Millions and millions of hits per month. Why? Because it's free information for you to go there and you'll get the most definitive white paper in lay language so everyone can understand it with all the scientific references showing you what's wrong with fluoride. And this is being used right now to help reverse fluoridation in many areas around the United States. Virtually every day I get activist groups and concerned citizens who are going to that. I also have, of course, on the webpage the latest on the dangers of mercury amalgam fillings. That information is being used as part of a lawsuit against the American Dental Association on Ritalin, Prozac, on vaccines. You name the public health issue, it's up there. Now, avoid at all costs tap water out of the tap. It's toxic anyhow, irrespective of fluoride. You don't want the chlorine. You don't want the viruses, which are not filtered out. And you don't want all the industrial pollutants and pesticides, which are also not filtered out. People are somehow under the impression when they turn on the water that they see this clear liquid that it's pure. It is not. You could have over 1,000 different chemicals in that water and it would still be considered safe for you to drink. And, of course, the very people who are telling you it is safe will not guarantee you that it's safe. If they were to say, all right, I am so confident this water is safe, even though there are all these bacteria in it, and parasites in it, and viruses in it, and industrial solvents in it, I will guarantee that if you get sick from anything in this water, you consume me and take away my home. Fine. If they're that confident that they're that sure that it's safe, then let them guarantee it. I had someone recently come in for a meeting, And they came into my apartment. And when they walked in, they saw I had my shoes at the door. And I said, would you mind please just slipping off your shoes, and you can slip on either the slippers or thongs, or just go in your socks if you want. Person said, I'll clean my feet. So they went 1-2. You know how you kind of wipe your foot on a carpet? And I said, all right, fine. Are your shoes clean now? He says, yeah. I said, well, okay. Would you lick the bottom of your shoe? He says, lick the bottom of my shoe. I said, well, if you think it's clean, then lick it. If it's clean, you can. It's lickable. And then he got the idea that, well, maybe there's a different type of clean. And then when I did a whole explanation of what happens when you walk into a room with a shoe on, and how whatever on the bottom of your foot, blood, sputum, pus, feces, all of which are on the streets, and all of which are on our shoes, and then it dries and then wafts into the air, and we breathe it. It goes into our body, and now it becomes a part of us. So if you take your shoes off, not only, A, will it be better for your feet, B, it'll be cleaner, and you are less likely to spread these unwelcome visitors around the house. In any case, so don't be fooled by what anyone in any public health agency tells you about the water. In point of fact, there's over 200 million poisonings a year between our water and our food. That's 200 million. That's over two-thirds of the American population are being poisoned each year. Now, bottled water, providing that you contact the company and ask them for an assay to make sure they don't have high levels of fluoride. Some bottled waters actually have higher fluoride naturally occurring than what would be added to the water, making it unsuitable. Reverse osmosis, that's fine. A fluoride water filter and any of the water filters that have a triple extruded carbon, that's fine. So it's not that difficult to find distilled water. Remember, it's a myth that you're getting most of your minerals from water. Absolute myth. You get very little minerals from water. And the most important minerals, of course, are calcium, magnesium. But if you drank a gallon of pure mineral water, spring water, a day, you'd be lucky to get 50 milligrams. You get far more from fresh-made juices. In fact, one fresh-made juice is going to have more minerals in it than 5 gallons of water. So you want to make sure that you're getting your juices is also a good substitute. Then buy organic. Today, the idea that we have to be buying stuff in a commercial supermarket is simply not correct. If I were to go to Dallas, they have the largest farmers market in America there. In fact, one of the largest in the world. It's humongous. It's really well done. And most of the things are organic. And they're open 7 days a week, every day of the year. And there are hundreds and hundreds of stalls, and you go and you buy whatever you want, from grains and spices to fruits and veggies. It's great. New York, all the major cities, everywhere I travel, one of the first things I ask when I'm traveling is, you have farmers market? And most places, except for some in Mid-America, say yes, they do. And so buy your produce. It's less expensive, it's fresher, and it's going to have better health qualities to it. Also, is the whole idea of supporting local farmers doing sustainable agriculture, which is, there's just something philosophically and morally good about that. Next, support health food stores that have organic-only sections. The idea of containing both organic and non-organic, to me, just doesn't make sense. The whole idea of going into a health food store is to buy something that is really a healthy food. Pesticides are not healthy, and therefore you don't want them. So you want to get your produce from a health food store. Now, when things are not in season, the good news is that we can now get organic in the wintertime from Chile and from Dominican Republic and Costa Rica. There's a thriving organic business down there, also in Mexico. But what you want to do is you want to make sure that it's certified organic. And who has done the certifying? Albert Organic is one of the largest and most respected wholesale distributors. They're the ones who are responsible. If a company says, hey, do you want to buy my tomatoes? They're going to say, how do we know they're organic? And you have to go through licensing requirements where your soil's tested, your seeds are tested, Even where you store your equipment must be tested. I know they came by my ranch and they did everything and went through a whole day of just testing everything. And they do soil samples and water samples. So when you do get your certification, you'll be pretty confident it's truly organic. Now we can get fresh fruit in the wintertime because the seasonal difference, because when we're having our winter, the South American countries are having their summer. So we can get those crops. Interestingly enough, Chile, which is one of the largest exporters, has both a growing organic business, but they use a lot of sprays in the non-organic. And many of the sprays they use have been banned in the United States, including DDT, and sold there. Hence, when you buy a non-organic fruit or vegetable in the wintertime, there's a high probability it has been sprayed with a banned or highly toxic pesticide or herbicide, and then shipped back, and you're going to eat it. So what our government would not allow you to have, it's too dangerous if it were sprayed here, we're allowed to have from these countries. And because of NAFTA and GATT, there is almost no barriers to them using anything they want on any product in any amount. Now, to give you an idea of this, I went on an expedition to see what they're using. Barbados and Jamaica are two examples, and also Trinidad. Trinidad's a very poor country, and their sugarcane is very, very big product, though it's very unprofitable and it wastes a lot of good soil. But I went to the areas where they had their regular produce, sustainable agriculture. And I watched as I saw young kids, some as young as 8 years old, with these pesticide tanks strapped to their back, much like a backpack, with this nozzle, and they were just kind of going around and spraying the heads of produce. And I was watching as one boy was spraying a head of lettuce, and he was following the flight of a fly. He was trying to hit the fly with the pesticide. He utterly, totally saturated that head of lettuce with the pesticide. When I walked over, I saw that the pesticide was DDT. There was no instructions. He was unaware that it was toxic. I also saw his legs. He was walking barefoot. He had ulcerating sores up his entire leg and had for over a year and a half. That's how long he said that he had been spraying because he earned a little bit of money. All right, that was bad enough for the kid to be exposed to that, but also that the likelihood is kid won't live that long. He'll end up with leukemia or cancer due to the pesticide. But imagine people eating that produce without any awareness that it has been saturated in DDT, which can cause all forms of biological imbalances. I don't care if you go to a five-star restaurant, the produce comes from these places. And that is a problem because there's no regulation. Now, for the company making it, there's an ethical issue. And I believe that we should for a moment stop and ask ourselves, do we any longer care about ethics? You may say, of course we do. Well, think again, because it depends upon how the ethics impact upon us. We may consider ourselves ethical when we sit in church or synagogue or mosque, but then if we go to work, what if we work for a company that made a toxic pesticide? And we knew it was toxic because it had been banned. And we can't sell it in America because it would harm American children. But we thrive in part economically because the high margins of profit when we are able to sell it to a third world country without any of the warnings and without any of the knowledge that it's going to be toxic, and then knowing it's going to come back to America when we import the very products that have been sprayed with the pesticides that have been banned here. But the company's profitable. And ask the average American, would you rather have more ethics or more money? Unfortunately, in today's climate, more money exceeds more ethics. So we are in this dilemma. Do we really want these kind of issues? Then we have the comfort issue. Are we going to say, God, it seems like a lot of hassle to go to a health food store or to a farmer's market? I've never been to a farmer's market. I'm There's no big deal me buying it. I mean, the FDA, the CDC, nobody tells me it's bad. That's correct. They won't. They can't. They'd lose their job if they did. Look at what happens to every single whistleblower who is honest. That means that we have a government that's not honest. Okay, that's not a surprise. We have politicians that are not honest. Well, that's certainly not a surprise. So who do we believe? If we know that we're voting for people who are pathological in their capacity to be self-serving, and certainly not the bastions of ethical and moral behavior, and we know that we're dealing with industries where profit is their number one concern, and that they are not, will not be held accountable personally if they commit a crime where people die, as if you went out and shot someone, but hey, every year 500,000 people worldwide are poisoned by pesticides. If you had a person out there shooting, wounding, or killing 500,000 people, everyone would pay attention. When a corporation creates a product that does it, it's no big deal. So we have to ask, how far have we come from a basic ethic consideration, our comfort considerations, and our ability to make positive choices and stick to them? I believe that even though most Americans are not willing to make that commitment at this time, there is a small but growing number who are. And those are the people who are making a difference. If it weren't for those people demanding organic produce, we wouldn't have had it anywhere. If it weren't for people demanding better quality products for them and their children, we wouldn't have the health food stores expanding the lines. After all, the health food stores don't create the lines. They're merely the exhibitor and dispenser of them. It's people saying, hey, there's a demand for health, so let's supply it. Here's the irony. Corporate America really is indifferent. It doesn't matter if they create a toxic product or a non-toxic product. Whichever is most profitable is what they're going to put their attention to. Up to this point, more often than not, it's been a toxic product. But when they can make money from health, you'll see them jump on the health bandwagon. And suddenly, overnight, we'll have more healthy products than you could ever shake a stick at. Now, some farmers have been forced to give up the non-organic way because they have gone broke. The pesticides problem in 1942 represented 2% of the American crop being destroyed or adversely affected by pesticide. Today, it's over 27%. And yet they are putting tons of this on cropland, which is polluting the very well water the farmer and his family have to drink. It's estimated in a report that was kept from the public until it was snuck out that over 60 million Americans living in rural America have water that is considered unsafe to drink. If they have no other options, so they're drinking unsafe water. That lowers their immune system, causes genetic damage, and all kinds of other problems. So instead of cleaning it up, because we made the mistake of creating laws and creating dependency upon pesticide, which has become a, you know, moldy-headed dragon. It is there as a multi-billion-dollar profit center, and so it tells the legislators and the FDA what it will and won't do instead of being told what to do. So you cannot trust your legislators to deal with you honestly, and I don't believe that anyone's naive enough to think otherwise. And you certainly never, never, never trust without challenge what any of the government agencies say, because we've seen that they lie about everything all the time. We kind of expect it. I think we'd kind of be floored if they didn't. We never gotten the truth from anyone. The IRS or the Defense Department, and look at all Gulf War vets who are still waiting to be told that, yes, Gulf War syndrome is not in your mind, it's real. But they haven't. So, surprise, surprise. You know, the surprise is, will there ever be an honest person working for any government agency who heads it and has the courage to redirect it towards the public interest? The answer is, I'm sure there are such people, but there's unlikely that they would have a chance to be in that position because they would be the wild card out. Does that answer your question? Hello?
Hello.
Well, we'll take another call. You're on the air, and we're speaking with people from the WPFW audience, even though BAI and KPFK and all the other stations and syndicated programs around the country are listening. Your turn. You're on the air.
This should be Denise.
Denise, hi.
Okay, let's go for Suzanne.
Suzanne.
Hi.
How are you, Suzanne?
I'm okay. How are you, Gary?
Good.
Great. I have a question about beta-glucan. A friend has recommended it to me, and I wondered if you could say something about it. Is it actually good for immune systems? And
yes, beta-glucan is important, and it is a immune modulator, and it will impact upon our immune system in a favorable way. And if you're using it, it's best to use it in the morning because it's most important as an anabolic stimulator of the immune system. And right now, there are probably about 100 articles in the scientific literature on how it impacts upon our immune system.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
We'll take another call. Who's on the line, please?
Okay, Denise.
Denise. Denise? No, we don't have Denise there. We'll try again, see who else we're able to get up. And again, our number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is Denise. Hello?
Yes, Denise.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry, I couldn't tell if you heard me this time. I just wanted to say thank you for everything that you're doing, first of all. And second of all, after having listened to you, I'm thinking, you know, of course, obviously, I'm trying to change my ways. And I wanted to go ahead and start first with, like, you know, buying the organics and things like that, but also detoxifying my system. And I had questions about the best way to go about doing that, as well as do air purifiers also help?
Air purifiers are terrific. Air purifiers take many of these toxins out of the air. And if you get a really good quality air purification system, and if you go up on my webpage, you'll see the best air filters, they should be able to filter approximately 25,000 cubic feet and do so about 6 times an hour. And removing danders and gases as volatile as, formaldehyde, which is now gassing from particle board. When you buy furniture that is generally lightweight, and you look inside or underneath, you'll see that it's not a solid piece of wood. Instead, it looks like an amalgamation of woods. That's because those are soft woods and shavings that have been pressed together, generally with some type of veneer surface. And how that all holds together is a glue. And that glue, which is a resin, is very volatile, meaning it will outgas. And that outgassing from that volatile glue will outgas for up to a year, year and a half. Now, frequently outside the first few weeks, you can't smell it. But the fact that you cannot smell something doesn't mean that it's not outgassing and it's not harmful to you. You should seal that. You should take some high epoxy, or you can take a varnish and put a little mask on, and you seal it off, paint it, and that way it doesn't outgas. That's one area. Our kitchen cabinets, nightstands, chest of drawers are almost always particle board. Then you've got the outgassing from your carpets. If you get a natural hand-woven wool carpet with natural dyes, you don't have that problem. Most people don't buy those. They'll buy the cheap synthetic stuff. And with that, you're getting a synthetic artificially dyed that outgasses. A synthetic fiber that outgasses. Into a synthetic weave, that glue that holds it in outgasses. And a carpet can outgas so bad that you can really get headaches and fatigue. In fact, the EPA headquarters had put in about 10 years ago a carpet that was so toxic that people were getting sick inside the EPA. So the one agency that's supposed to be on the ball was the agency that got knocked for a loop. And still they tried to cover it up. And, boy, there's no end to their duplicity. And until the union that represents the scientists there, demanded they do something about it. Well, just buy natural. Better than a carpet is a hardwood floor, a stone floor, including ceramic tile or a clay tile. That is a better floor. Easier to clean and not going to have the outgassing. So that's another thing you can do to clean your air. Putting spider plants, wandering Jew, a ficus, philodendron, different types of flowers and plants will absorb toxins out of the air. And that's why it's good to have a lot of the ivies growing in your house. You can put them on the windowsill or in planters, but they absorb toxins out of the air. You also want to make sure that any time you're in the wintertime or summertime, that you take some hydrogen peroxide, put it in a spray, a little mister, and spray it into your air conditioning system and across the front of it where the filter is, and wash the filter, then spray it, because once you turn it on, because of the condensation, the humidity, bacteria will grow in there. So when the moment your motor comes on, the fan throws all that into the air, you're suddenly inundated with millions of particles of mold. Those go into your eyelids, your nose, and they cause allergic reaction, which is one of the reasons we end up with what is known as Monday morning blues. Because over the weekend, most central airs have been shut down, and it gives 48 hours for molds and bacteria and dirt to grow inside the air systems. And whether it's heat or air conditioning, it all comes out and it just inundates you, and it impacts upon your brain behavior. And it can cause what is known as brain fog or Monday morning blues. It's not that people don't want to go back to work on Monday. Most people actually look forward to going back to work on Monday. It's that they're going into a toxic environment. So hydrogen peroxide kills it. Same way in your car. Now, you can also use something that actually not only kills it, but actually smells good. It's an orange or lemon or pineapple citrus spray. You can buy these in your health food store. And you spray this into the ducts when you get in the car before you turn on your car engine. And then when you turn on the air conditioning or the heater, you've killed and disinfected all the bacteria that otherwise come into that closed container, that closed air container of a car that you're driving around in. So that's another thing you can do to clean up your air. And you can also put a few little boxes around of Arm & Hammer's baking soda, which will absorb bacteria out of the air as well. Now, that is to help you with the one problem you mentioned. The other is, when you want to get started, you want to get yourself healthy, and you have to cleanse. How do you go about cleansing? Well, you want to detoxify. For most people, the cleansing process is going to require about a year and a half to do it right. I'd like to tell you you could do it in a week or a month, but you can't. It's taken a lifetime to accumulate toxins. And these toxins, you could have over 100,000 man-made toxins in your body. Most of it will lodge into the fat tissue. And since a large part of your brain is fat, the majority of it's fat and water, and your central nervous system is generally made up of fat, certainly the myelin sheath is all fat, and the cells of your body are made up of fat, well, you've got a lot of places for toxins to be stored. And heavy metals and pesticides have a special affinity for fat. So the more fat that you have in your body, the more toxic you are. So during the normal process of living, the body burns fat for energy and the fatty acids. And when that fatty acid is burned, it releases the toxin at the same time, which then goes into the kidneys and the liver and other organs where can lead, mercury, cadmium, nickel, zinc can do their damage. So what you want to do is you want to take a process that's going to probably take you a year and a half minimum. Though you will see beneficial effects much shorter. You can actually see, I've seen people who've had beneficial effects in 3 or 4 days. That's the short-term effect. But you've got to be consistent with it. You can't do something bad and do something good and then do something bad and something good and bounce back and forth. You just have to be consistent doing something good. Now, start with making yourself some things you can control, like a tea. Start with some purified water, like mineral water. Then take some decaffeinated peppermint tea in bags and some Chinese green tea and boil the tea. Then take 4 ounces of fresh ginger root, cut into half-inch pieces, 2 tablespoons of honey, and 2 whole lemons, and a bunch of ice cubes. And what you do is this. You boil the tea, you juice the lemons and juice the ginger, and you pour all that together. You peppermint, your tea and your green tea are poured into a blender with your honey and the ginger root juice and the lemon juice. Throw in your ice cubes and you blend that up. Now you got a ginger mint tea. And what's good about this ginger mint tea, it is a great detoxifier. It starts to calm the system when you start to get rid of the sugar, artificial sweeteners, caffeine, milk, dairy, wheat that you must get rid of in order to, and chicken and eggs, to really cleanse. So let's say that you're the average person. You say, well, I can't do all that at once. That's okay. Then do one item every week. At the end of a year, you have done 104 good things for yourself. You've taken 102 bad things out of your system. Or excuse me, you've taken 52 bad things out of your system and you replaced it with 52 good things. So that's doable. Now, by having this ginger mint 3 times in a day, you make it all at once in the morning. It takes this whole process 10 minutes max. So now for 10 minutes of work in the morning, you can take it in a thermos with you, and you got your iced tea, and you've got a nice, tasty beverage. So that gets you going. Now, you do that, but you want to add something to it. In the evening, you want to have a cleanser detoxifier that has chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is what really does the deep cell cleansing, gets rid of the toxic metals. And for that, you want take some kale, parsley, spinach, broccoli, cauliflower, and celery. And you juice it. And then you add in 2 apples. And you juice all that together. Now, that is a green power punch. It really cleanses, grabs on those toxins, and brings them out of the body. Now, you do that. 1 green juice, and you can change the vegetables depending upon season. You do that every day, once a day, for about 3 months. Then you want to start adding in your red juices, watermelon juice or your berry juice like strawberries, raspberries, cranberries, because the berries and grapes also, that actually slows down the aging, chelates out metals, builds up the immune system, and repairs damage to your DNA. So you want to make sure you get in a juice. Now you're drinking a total of 4 juices a day. You're drinking the melon juice, the green juice, the which is important, and the red juice. And that's where most people would be. Now, if you say, Gary, I'm really not feeling good. I need an immune juice, all right? You'll take 1 whole clove of garlic, peeled. Take a half a red onion, peeled and quartered. Take 1.5 cups of black or green olives, pitted. 4 tangerines, peeled and quartered. 3 apples, cored and quartered. And 4 tablespoons of eucalyptus honey. And what you do, you simply put the garlic, onion, olives, tangerines, and apples through a juicer. If you don't have a juicer, use a blender. Then you add in the eucalyptus honey, and you drink it. That'll give you about 3 cups. And that is for about 1 week. That immune juice is terrific for your system. It cleanses, detoxifies, makes you feel really good. And let's say, but Gary, I've been drinking, and then I had contact with someone sexually and I got hepatitis and now, you know, I'm really in a problem. All right, then you want to have a big liver cleanse. So you'll take milk thistle, vitamin C, always important. Vitamin C is a great detoxifier every day, 4 or 5 times a day. And alpha lipoic acid, alpha, A-L-P-H-A, lipoic, L-I-P-O-I-C, acid, alpha lipoic acid, 200 milligrams. Very, very good for you. L-glutathione, reduced glutathione, 100 milligrams to 500 milligrams. NAC, N-acetylcysteine, NAC, 500 milligrams. And with that, you are also going to be taking red clover, about 100 milligrams. Now, then you swallow it all down with a juice. You take, in season, you can use guava, which is phenomenal when you seed and quarter it. 2 small artichokes, broccoli, red peppers, chopped celery, 4 oranges, and then you juice all the produce and you take that, and that's a liver cleanse. That's for the people that have really got some serious problems and need to clean that. And one of the things this time of year you can use is a morning detoxifying melon boost. Simply take your favorite melon. The best all-round cleansing melons are cantaloupe and watermelon. So take both cantaloupe and watermelon. Take a nice piece of it. Add in a whole lemon and as much vitamin C until you get a little loose stool. And a pint of raspberries. Juice the melons, the lemon, the raspberries. Throw in some vitamin C. That's your melon immune boost. It's a detoxifier, it's a cleanser, it helps your immune system. It's easy to do, it's delicious. Kids, old people, everybody likes to taste some melons and raspberries. And you can get a nice strawberry flavored or cherry flavored vitamin C that's buffered. So those are some of the things you can do that will also help cleanse the blood. There's specific things for big blood cleansers also. The one juices you want if you want to clean the blood include lemon juice as a blood cleanser. Burdock root is a blood cleanser. Dandelion root is a blood cleanser. Spinach, pears, apples, and aloe vera. Those are your big blood cleansers. So if it also is good to do 1 or 2 days of just blood cleansing juices, maybe 12 ounces 4 times in a day for the big cleanse of the big juice. So those are some things to get you on your way. All right, Denise? Well, Denise is gone. And I'm looking at the clock, and we're coming up near the end of the show, and that's all the time we're going to have today to take calls. I want to thank all of you for listening today, and just realize that there's always hope, that there is nothing that is so bad that we can't learn from it, grow from it, and strengthen ourselves from it. This program is about hope, optimism, and positive choices. So I hope you tune in tomorrow. We'll continue sharing more on health and nutrition. Have a nice day, everyone.